5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Justin James.
What's up, guys? My name is Tim, and I am your host for today, and I sound like the Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz, or I sound like the friend from Independence Day. I don't remember his name now. David! I gotta call my mother! Yeah, so I am sorry I sound like this. Justin is out under the weather, and so I, as a friend of his, offered to do this before my voice sounded like this. I have invited my brother, who's a worship leader in Dallas, and so we're going to get this going. I'm actually a worship leader also at the church Justin and his wife Sophia go to, and I don't sound like it today, so you'll just have to take my word for it. But I'm going to welcome now my brother Trey Groves.
How's it going?
Good. I said, you sound much better than me.
Sound fantastic.
You sound like you should be doing this and not me. So I don't even know if Justin's going to have any listeners this time around.
I'd like to give you some of my range.
But I would appreciate it because right now it's bad. It's bad. Yeah.
But so we're here to talk about your voice?
No, we're not.
Okay.
We're not. Actually, what we're going to do today is talk about leading worship and talk about, you know, Trey and I have been doing this. Trey's a little older than me, but we've been doing this between the two of us for over 40 years. I think we figured out if the math is right.
Probably about right.
Yeah.
Close.
So when we got the opportunity to do this, I called him and said, what should we talk about? And he said, we talked through it, and the idea maybe came out that what if we went back and told our younger selves three things that we wish we knew? We're going to get into that in a little bit, but first, don't you just give a little bit about where you're serving and maybe an entertaining story of leading worship?
Okay. Well, so thanks for letting me be here and inviting me to do this. And so I've been leading worship since probably late 90s, 98, I think was the first church I was in, and have done worship over the years, pretty much every position I've held. Have done it worship in students, have done it worship in journey groups, small groups, type of thing like that. But worship's always been the component throughout there. Did my studies at Howard Payne University.
Stingham Jackets.
That's right. Went from there. So I've been here in Dallas serving at Lake Highlands Baptist Church in the White Rock Lake area for 11 years. It's the longest that I've been in a church, and it's been a wonderful place to serve. And just like most churches, over time you see lots of changes, and so we're in the midst of some really good positive changes overall in our church, and I'm really excited about seeing where we're headed. And so it's an exciting time to be a part of the Big C Church, but my church. I'm excited about what's going on. So
I know over the years I've gotten to come lead with you a few times, and it's always been good. You've always, you know, it's as the younger brother, I watched you lead worship before I felt called into the ministry, and so I think God used you as an instrument in bringing me into, no pun intended, to bring me into leading worship. So I've definitely appreciated the times we've gotten to lead together, which isn't often, we're both usually working Sundays.
Living closer has made it even more difficult to get together, but that's, you know.
It has, because we're usually, hey, what are you doing Christmas Eve? Oh, I'm kind of busy. Yeah, a little busy. Yeah. We're on a podcast, and I've become very engrossed in podcasts over the last year,
I would say.
Yeah. There's so many good podcasts out there. So if you were to tell us like your top either three podcasts or three genres that you dig right now, what would you say?
Well, Justin James.
Oh, nice. That was a
plug. I did go back and listen to a couple of his podcasts just so I wasn't coming in blind, and listen to the one y'all did at Christmas time. And, I like where he's focusing on. So
he's not afraid to talk about like modern topics and politics and things like that.
Which I appreciate that. I mean, it's good for us to have that worldview and not shy away from those topics. So I appreciate his desire to do that, and hope it carries on. I really listen to podcasts a lot, and honestly, just, I mean, I don't know if you're like this at all, but so much of my job is around music that there's just times where I just need to not listen to music.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you're talking about the worship end, I like Beyond the Sunday, and I like Pro Church Tools.
Yeah,
those are two really good ones. For theology, I listen to White Horse Inn a lot, which I think you do.
Yeah,
that's
one of my favorites.
Soteriology 101, that one. That's dealing with the doctrine of salvation, and Leighton Flowers kind of heads it up.
Oh, yeah.
Really solid. Cross-Examined is another good one, dealing with a lot of apologetics stuff, so it covers a wide variety. And then Pastor's Class, which is our podcast from our Wednesday night Bible study.
Okay, that's cool.
So right now, actually, one of the professors at Criswell leads that. He's on staff at our church. And so he's going through New Testament survey.
Nice.
And he does a great job teaching. And so really worthwhile. For fun, I listen to Ear Biscuits, Skit Guys.
Ear Biscuits.
And I've been listening to this new podcast that just started called Extraterrestrial because I'm a closet alien junkie.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I knew like X-Files back in the day.
Yeah. But this is kind of fun. And then if I'm just like political stuff like that, I'm a Shapiro fan.
Okay.
I'll listen to Crowder on occasion. And there's a great podcast if you like philosophy called Philosophize This.
Nice.
If you like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little deep, but yeah. Anyway.
I like that.
What about you?
I've been getting into, and I don't have a specific one yet because I'm just now finding them, but anything that's about neurology and brain science it's a deep dive, and a lot of times I feel very like inept, but there's so much about brain science. I think they're discovering with connections and rebuilding habits and things like that that I think come into play that, and I got onto that because of the other podcast I love called Pure Desire. Mm. Pure Desire is a podcast that deals with men and women who have wrestled with addiction, normally on a sexual level, but sexual addiction, helping them get through it, get over it, get healed. I love true crime. I don't like to like give you just one because a lot of them deal with hard topics.
Yep.
So I do like true crime, though. It's a good like you talked about, kind of disconnecting and kind of exhaling from all the music and the focus of the worship. It's good stories. It's always very driven. I will say that season one of Up and Vanished is pretty clean, and it's very riveting. It's a little old now. It came out in 2015, but it's a really good story. Mm-hmm. And then I love me a couple of pastor sermon podcasts. So like Andy Stanley, I dig that. He's always real. He's got a lot of real life application stuff that's very helpful. So yeah, I dig a lot of podcasts So hey, before we go to break, and we're going to come back and talk about the top three things we would tell ourselves as younger worship leaders. But before we do that, have you ever had anything happen that was embarrassing, funny, that you can look back and laugh on now, but at the moment you were less than amused by it?
Well, I mean, my life is super polished. I don't ever have any missteps or mistakes. I don't know. I mean, you told me this, and you know, the longer you are in ministry and dealing with people, you know, the more I would love to write a book, and I would love to get together with a bunch of other worship pastors and just call it Missteps in Worship or something like that, because there's so many good stories out there. I don't know. I mean, the simple one that doesn't take much explanation was first Sunday at the church I'm serving now, or not first Sunday, but first week or so. And they use in-ears monitors, and I'd never used that before. And we got done, and it was a really nice worshipful time. And I forgot to, you know, disconnect from the thing. And so when I walk off the stage, it pulls the in-ear monitor, which hits my boom mic, which falls.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just a mess. But, I mean, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
But probably my... The worst one was when I was serving at the church in college, and it was one of those traditional Baptist churches with the chairs on the stage. And so while you're leading worship, the pastor's up there and the choir's up in the loft. Mm-hmm. And then when you switch off, the pastor's preaching. So the pastor's preaching. I'm sitting in my chair, choir sitting behind me. And this is a big stage, and it's hollow, right? That's important to the story.
Okay.
Hollow. Right. Resonance. Okay. Mm. And so I'm sitting on the stage, and I've got my big old study Bible. And college students do not prepare like sleep-wise for Sunday mornings, and so you still live like a college student on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, and I'm so tired, and I'm like, well, if I just have my Bible in front of me, put my head down, and close my eyes, it'll be fine, right?
I think this is going to end well.
Yeah. And so, anyway, I definitely dozed off for sure. Well, this big study Bible falls off my lap and hits the stage and just boom, you know, big noise. Pastor doesn't miss a beat. And I just kind of reach down, pick up the Bible, pull back up and sit down. Well, I look to my left at the choir loft and every one of them looking at me. And it's just some of the, they're just shaking their heads like stupid college student. And so that was probably one. And I haven't fallen asleep on the stage since.
God bless churches that hire college students because they know they're getting into a training.
Oh, yeah.
A training session. For sure.
What about you? What's your most
embarrassing? When I was younger in ministry, I was pretty heavy set. I was a large dude and wore a big pants because I had a very large rear end. We'll just say it like that. We can keep this family friendly. One of the first weeks that the church I was serving at had a praise team. We were on that first group that started a praise team. I had my guitar in my hand and the strap came unpopped and my guitar fell to the ground. Well, that as a guitar player, that's the first thing you're like, you gasp because you're like, oh gosh, my guitar.
Yeah,
and then before I could think about it, I bent over too fast. And the next thing I know is my seam in my back of my pants had split wide open. And I hear my acoustic guitar player go, oh,
summer breeze.
It was a very awkward Sunday. Yeah. We'll just say that. It was, yeah. So, but we have those things, and at the time you go, wow, and you look back and you can laugh now. So.
You're listening to the Justin James Show. I came from, it's my dirt, but it ain't my home. This dirt ain't my home. This dirt, no, it ain't my home. This dirt. If you need that aerial photo, there is no one else to call but O'Madden Aerial Photography. They are able to take stunning photos or videos of your place of business, home, worship, or just about anything you can think of. They are highly professional and they use state-of-the-art drone technology. Realtors love aerial photography because they are able to show the entire house to their clients. And churches love to be able to see their whole building that the Lord has provided. Whatever your reason, now is the time to call 972-834-4890. That is 972-834-4890. Or check them out at omaddenaerialphotography.com. O'Madden Aerial Photography, the finest in the air. You're listening to The Justin James Show.
You're listening to the Justin James Show. I'm Trey Groves, and I am substituting for Tim Groves' voice, who is substituting for Justin James, who is also sick. So,
that's not confusing at all.
Not at all. I'm just afraid I'm going to get sick just by passing it down the vine. So,
That's all right. You just stay on your side of the desk. I'll stay on my side, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, it's all good.
So let's get into kind of the big discussion for today. If you were to go back and tell your younger self, just getting into worship, a ministry, three things, and we'll just kind of go back and forth on this. What's something you would tell your younger self?
I would, if I was going to go back and talk about what are the things I wished that I had known before stepping in leading worship, I think the first thing I would have said would be don't neglect the theology.
Talk about what you mean by that.
So when you're going to college and you're getting your degree, you spend a lot of your time in the music department and fleshing out what all the background music theology and form analysis and
music theory, that's what I'm looking for.
And there are Bible classes there, but there's such an emphasis on the music side. And I receive very little counsel about the importance of the theology. So, when you're moving into worship leading, music styles are going to change. Whatever, different churches have different styles, different ways that they handle things. Those things are going to constantly be an ebb and flow as culture ebbs and flows. But the theology, That's a foundation that won't change.
That's right.
And that should be the constant when we're leading worship. So I would have gone back and told my younger self, look, you need to spend more time learning how to exegete scripture, understanding doctrines, know the Bible well. Because if you don't, how are you going to lead your people to the throne if you don't know where the throne is?
Yeah.
That's what,
And that reminds me when I went to Dallas Baptist to work on my master's in worship, we did do a lot of that.
Right.
Like, that was almost like, I felt like that completed some of the training that that the undergraduate had started, but it gave us some of those Christian doctrines classes and understanding how to study scripture well. And, you know, I remember reading a couple of books, one guy by one by a guy named Gordon Fee, that really changed the way I was able to study scripture.
Right.
And it was just, it was helpful.
Right.
It was very helpful because the music's important. You know, you want good music and you want to be able to know how to communicate it and teach it when you're teaching different groups of musicians and all different levels. But if you avoid or ignore the theology, then I think there's a tendency to have kind of shallow worship.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, for a long time it wasn't a problem, because, and this may be stepping on one of yours, I can't remember, but because we really leaned on the hymnal. We leaned on the hymns that had been chosen by a group of men and women who had spent time in theology, who had spent time studying scripture. And so it wasn't as much, but now that there's the face of worship has changed so much, where there's new worship songs coming out every week,
And not all of them are good.
No, there's a lot that are really shallow.
Should we out those people?
No,
okay.
I don't want to, because anyway, but we could spend so much time on every new worship song, but if you don't have a good foundation for theology, and so that's why, like, going back to the podcast, like White Horse Inn, that's helped me along the way, kind of real-time training. So things like that are really important. I'm with you there.
Well, let me tag on, it was not the college's fault.
No,
back to tell my younger person, it was because I did not put the emphasis on theology.
Right.
You know, Howard Payne, I went to the classes. The professors were fantastic.
Yeah.
They gave me the tools to be prepared. I chose not to because I thought it was all about the music. And so that's something I wish that I could have gone back and altered my perception.
Yourself,
I would
sure.
be telling myself that. So I just want to make sure to clear that because I'm
absolutely.
Not blaming them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me, I think one of the first things I would tell myself was don't worry about trying to impress others or getting them to like you. Andy Stanley talks about avoiding the comparison trap.
Mm.
And I think that is a trap for anybody, really. But as musicians, we kind of tend to compare with each other, maybe get
absolutely.
A little bit jealous if somebody's got more skill or talent than we have. As guitar players, it's easy to become gear obsessed. And there's form after form after form on social media that is all about, you know, pedals and technology and gear. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Those are tools as a means to an end. But if those things become the way you validate yourself and the way you validate your worth as a worship leader, I mean, I'm going to throw out the scripture here that has come into play a lot in me, and that's Galatians 1:10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And that's where Paul's talking about preaching the real gospel. And anything that distracts from the real gospel is us trying to find someone else's approval.
Mm-hmm. And that bleeds over to other areas of ministry too.
Absolutely.
I mean, what's the first question you ever meet somebody? It's like, so what are you running?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because numbers
yeah.
define us.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so that's true all across the board.
It's a trap too. I mean, it really becomes entrapping. Yeah. Okay. What's your second one?
Well, so I think the second one I would have told myself would be to explore different liturgies. So, and what I mean by that is, we were raised in a particular denomination or a particular church. Some of us were raised in contemporary church. Some of us, you know, like hymn choir, King James Version, Baptist, Methodist. So I think it would have been good to explore how other churches did their worship. Because there are lots of really good liturgies out there. And I think, you know, as denominations, we've kind of picked and choose what we want, what we like, what we don't like, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's still biblical.
Right.
But I think we miss out on some really deep, rich church tradition when we just have this kind of this echo chamber of what we find
the
appealing
same
to us.
Practices that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody around us.
So that's understand the church history. Understand where the church has come from over the years, don't just stay in the 21st century. You know, what did the church do in the Middle Ages? What did they do in the early churches? How did they worship? And I think there's some really rich methods of worship that should be incorporated to today that we're just missing. So,
and didn't you go through a kind of an opportunity? Didn't your church let you start to kind of visit other church traditions for a while? What was that like?
So when I got to take a sabbatical a while back, and I wanted to reach out into different things. So, you know, I went on a Sunday, I went to an Anglican church. That was a really good experience. You know, there were some things and how they did it that I was not familiar with. But it was good to worship from a different perspective.
Yeah.
You know, went everywhere from very contemporary churches that did all, you know, contemporary songs, some that did a mix. Again, some that were very, very, what we'd say, liturgical, corporate
high
readings
church,
and things like
that.
Yeah, high church, and I found a beauty in all of those. And really, going back to an earlier point, the common thread in the bond was Jesus Christ.
That's good. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And to me, that was something that I think we lose so often in our churches, because we go, we do church the right way.
Right.
And we forget that though we may have discrepancies and differences of opinions with other people, we are still bonded through that blood of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
That'll preach, yeah.
We're gonna take an offering up now and sing a hymn. And
we're going to keep passing the plate till I decide how much is good.
I think for me, the second thing I would remind my younger self is that worship isn't about like the feel-good emotions. And I like emotions. I mean, I don't mind being excited about worshiping. I get excited. I'm a jumper on stage. I'm one of like the Richard Simmons worship leader type guys. Mm-hmm. And so, but I also have to remind myself that worship should cost something. Worship should be something that we are laying down our own agenda. And I go back to Genesis 22:5. The first time you see the word worship used in the Bible is when Abraham is taking Isaac up to sacrifice him as an act of obedience to God. And I mean, what's a greater sacrifice than losing your son? I mean, it pointed directly towards the gospel and pointed directly towards what Jesus was going to do.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that Abraham said, the boy and I are going to go worship, always hit me, because that's an idea of when we walk into worship, what are we willing to lay down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not just for the worshiper, that's for the worship leaders. That's for everybody. Okay. And I think on the stage, telling myself, my younger self, that you need to be willing to lay down your ego and your expectations, because God has a better plan and a bigger plan. And so what are you willing to sacrifice and lay down today? We used to sing that old song in the 90s, that we bring the sacrifice of praise from, I was trying to have Psalms. Yeah. But
would you sing a little bit right now?
No, you do not want me to sing. David! No, I won't do that. but I think just keeping that in mind is really important, and to remind our fellow worship leaders, the ones that we lead with every Sunday on the platform, that we are there to sacrifice our own agendas and our egos, and that's hard sometimes, I think, to remember that.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
What's your third one? What's your third thing you would tell your younger self?
I would say it's a little bit more lengthy, because it's a broad sweeping stroke. So I would remind myself that worship leading doesn't end on the platform.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. Talk about that some more.
So it extends, especially if you are a worship pastor. I would even say if you don't carry the title pastor, if you are charged with leading your people in worship, you need to think beyond what is happening in that platform, what's happening in the sound booth, what's happening in the drum cage. You need to think beyond that. And so that involves you, or us, let's say that. It involves us having a proper idea of what worship is. And so I always go back to Isaiah 6. And I love Isaiah. If you've not ever read through it, it's just so good.
It's a blueprint for worship.
Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. It's this really great walkthrough, and I won't read through this whole scripture, but you know, when it is talking about the angels standing there and they're declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts; the whole earth is full of His glory." And so you start with this idea, this mindset of understanding God's holiness.
Yeah.
And then immediately after this, you have Isaiah, "Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips." And so you're immediately falling with responding to God's holiness with understanding your unworthiness. you do not have a right to stand in the presence of a holy God.
Right.
And you just, woe to me. But then the next step is, and here's this angel that comes down and touches his lips and say, says, you've been purified. You are forgiven.
Yeah.
And so when you've gone through this, God's holiness, my unworthiness, and understanding that there's repentance and forgiveness that follows.
And that's what makes us worthy to be in his presence.
That's right.
It's his act. Yeah.
That's right. Only he can make us worthy through our repentance and his forgiveness.
That's right.
And then finally, when he says, who's going to go? Who am I going to send? And Isaiah responds, here am I, Lord, send me.
Yeah.
And our natural overflow of all these other three things, God's holiness, all our unworthiness, then forgiveness and repentance, is responding in obedience to whatever it is that God is calling us to do, whether that is physically going someplace, mm-hmm. whether that is responding in obedience to whatever it is that God is calling us through his word. So to me, there's that natural progression of understanding that aspect of worship. And when we don't understand that as worship leaders, then all we think about is the music, the performance, the sound, the balance, and all those things that are not unimportant, but they are definitely of less importance.
They're a means to an end.
They are a means to the end, and a lot of times we don't understand the end, which is to glorify God.
That's right.
To give him glory with our lives. And all of that, and again, so to be able to get to that point, though, Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, the first thing he's saying in Matthew 5:2 is he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This poor spirit is this humility. You don't recognize you're poor in spirit until you recognize your own depravity.
There could be a whole podcast on like Western Christianity and the lack of understanding poor in spirit. We'll leave that for Justin, who misses y'all, the way. He misses y'all very much. He wants to be here.
And I would like Justin to explore a little bit of the Byzantine theology, which is actually something I've been reading on. It's very difficult to understand, but I've been very interested in the Eastern theology over the Western theology, just to see how they balance out. And it's really good. So anyway.
That is deep.
But anyway, all that to say, humility, poor in spirit, has got to be on the front end of that. And here's why I think that is such a struggle. Because musicians, a lot of times, we do not have humility.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We love us some us.
Uh-huh.
You know? Uh-huh. And that's why you see guys when they're jamming on their guitar and they're making the faces it's very easy to go in performance mode. We're just not a humble group of people.
Right.
And so I think that makes it difficult for us to even come to that first point of poor in spirit.
Right.
And if we don't go there first, then all the other ways that we need to go through worship, that's Isaiah good. 6, it's not going to happen. So.
Yeah, and I think that, I got to be careful about my guitar faces too, because they look more like you're in pain than you are and like having a good time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, my last one came from when I was thinking about these. Early on in ministry, I was like 26 in a first full-time position. And at that point, the church I was in was big into like musicals, seasonal musicals, which if you've been in churches for, 2-3 decades, that used to be like the big thing a lot of churches did was seasonal musicals. So I asked a few people in the church to volunteer their time to help build the sets. And at one point, one of the guys, I remember he looked at me and he was like, I'm not a commodity. And he was burned out. And it wrecked me. I mean, it really shut me up for a minute, because I realized up to that point, I had been treating people according to their skill.
Wow.
And it just so what I would go back and tell myself is, you focus more on relationships than you do on skill and talent, and you will never regret that. Because that goes so far into walking with people through life, not just using them for their skill or their talent or their ability. Talents are fleeting, and talents come and go, and we already wrestle with finding our identity in our talents. So if people get that affirmed, it just helps re-impress that kind of false truth, that lie that you're only as valuable as your skill. Whereas if you focus on relationships and you ask people how they're doing in life and you're meeting them for coffee and you're listening about what's going on, then the value is more on their journey, their walk with Christ. You can challenge each other. You can have hard conversations down the road. And those conversations don't always go the way we think, but at least you've established a relationship with them and shown them that you love them beyond the platform. You love them beyond their skill level. And probably that might have been the thought that took me down this path of what I would tell my younger self, was that final, man, don't treat people as a skill. You know, remember that they're the image of God.
That's right.
And so love people that way, and remember to see them every time you see them, not for what they can offer, but for who they are.
And that's hard for a lot of musicians, because even along with the pride thing, a lot of musicians have a tendency to be introverted off the stage.
Yeah,
I don't know if you notice that. I'm not like that, and I know you're not either. But I've met plenty of fantastic musicians that will stand in front of hundreds of people and don't have a problem. But, man, you get them one-on-one, and they are lost.
They are, and that's where you have to go out of your way to really build that relationship with folks.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, man, this has been good. I really appreciate the fact that Justin asked us to do this. And to the listener, I hope when I come back on again that my voice sounds normal. And not like the guy from Mrs. Doubtfire, David. I don't even know if maybe Justin will cut that out. But it's been fun, and this has been cool to get to do this with you. Kind of a different way of talking about worship together. So, guys, don't forget Justin will be back. He really does miss you guys, and is looking forward to be back next week. I know he's got some pretty awesome and heavy topics coming up. So make sure you subscribe, make sure you listen, and be ready every week for the new Justin James Show. You guys take care and be blessed.
You're listening to the Justin James Show.